publicly, and it's good to just be able to give that opportunity in a public setting. Turn to Galatians chapter 5 this evening. Galatians 6. Let's go to Galatians 6. It's close to Galatians 5. All right, it's really close. Galatians 6. We're going to read one verse, and then we're going to turn in some scripture tonight, and then kind of draw it all together with a Old Testament illustration here. But Galatians 6 in verse 5. We're going to move past it, and then we'll be done with it. All right, but it's Galatians 6, verse 5. Galatians 6, verse 5, the Bible says, "For every man shall bear his own burden." Every man shall bear his own burden. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for those that have come, those that have testified, those that wanted to testify and didn't have opportunity. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for your word. Lord, I pray as we look tonight about this idea of bearing a burden, Lord, that it would be a blessing and not a hindrance. It wouldn't be more of a weight, but Lord, that you'd speak to us through your word. Thank you for being good to us again, in Jesus' name, amen. For every man shall bear his own burden. As a Christian, you are going to have some burdens to carry. There really is no way around it. I haven't really met any Christians that have been burden-free. I've never looked in the Bible and seen any individuals that the Lord has highlighted in the Scriptures that at least were trying to serve the Lord and didn't have some type of burden to carry. And a burden is a weight. It's a weight to be carried. It's a difficulty, something that we might find as something that's heavy for us to carry. And there's no doubt when the Lord has separated you unto himself, when you get saved, that there is something that is placed on you. Now, I don't want this to... Listen, in the world without Christ, the world and sin puts a weight on you and puts a burden on you, and that weight is heavy. And when we get saved, it doesn't free us from burdens to carry, but we carry it differently, or we can carry it differently with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn away from this 6-5 mess here and go to Matthew chapter 23. This is how I'll keep it easier. We'll go to Matthew 23:23. Then I can't get them backwards. All right? I didn't know that when I was writing this out, but the Lord said, you're going to mess this up. Matthew 23:23. The Lord is talking to, in Matthew 23, he's given kind of a scathing rebuke here to the Pharisees and the scribes and those that he calls hypocrites and how they've been acting and carrying themselves as leaders in the religious form. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 says, "Woe unto you, ye scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So they were picking and choosing these things that they were holding up as great works of the Lord, and to hold up their, prop up their spirituality, and the fact that they were tithing in all of these areas. And the Lord says, "But you've omitted the weightier matters." And what were those? The law, and judgment, and mercy, and faith. And there are things that we have in this life and things that God places on us as a Christian, things that he expects of us as his children, and they are weighty. They can feel heavy at times. They can feel this burden that's placed on our shoulders. Turn to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. We find this passage of scripture that the Jews have met together in Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas have come back from their missionary journey, and they are meeting with the church that is at Jerusalem and the leadership at Jerusalem, and they are hashing out and talking about what God has been doing and how God has been changing the way that he has operated here in the book of Acts. And they consent together that the Jews and the Gentiles both are going to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ, the same together. And they're agreeing together that the laws of the Old Testament Jew do not have to be placed on the Gentiles for any type of salvation. And so they come together and decide these things. And then here in chapter 15, starting in verse number 25, the Bible says, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well." So here is the Jewish kind of church at Jerusalem and the leadership there that has been talking about the Gentiles and their world and them getting saved. And they're saying, listen, we, through the Holy Ghost, we do not want to put any more burdens on the Gentiles at this time than to say, listen, you need to keep yourselves away from things offered to idols and from things strangled and from blood, and to keep yourself from fornication. And if you do these things, they're already believers in Christ and they're trying to be a Christian follower. If you stay clear of these and do these things, then you're going to be doing well. Now, this was a time when idol worship was open and known, and Paul was going into cities of the Gentiles and he's saying, what is going on here? You're worshiping these idols, and they're selling idols in the marketplaces, and they're making sacrifices unto false gods, and they're messed up with the blood of these sacrifices and things that aren't commonplace for you and I. And it says, abstain from fornication. Why? Because fornication was rampant, and it was all over, and it was accessible, and it was promoted. Oh, almost like today. Almost like today. But in reality, the pressures that these individuals were coming from, being saved from idolatry, being saved from this whole world of wickedness, they were coming out as pioneers that were believing in Christ. They were not the majority. They were not half and half. There was nobody claiming that these Gentile nations were Christian nations. There was no Christian nation. They were believing in Christ. They were hearing of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and that saving their souls. They were hearing about this for the first time. They were stepping away from an entire world that was steeped in Satanism and idolatry and self-worship. And so they were saying, listen, if you step away, if you just keep clear of these things, you'll be doing well here at the beginning of your walk with Christ. And we don't want to put any burden on you that's going to be extra. Now, for us, eating things offered to idols, I've never had a trouble staying away from that because I've never really been around it that I knew of. To stay away from things strangled and stay away from messing around with the blood of these sacrifices, that's never been a strong pull for me to go mess around with the blood of things offered to sacrifices. Now, we understand there's all the carnal sins and the sexuality that's everywhere, but it's never been a part of the culture of what we've been steeped in my life. All right, so maybe for us as Christians, we can't take these examples. This would be a low bar, I would say, for our church. If I was to stand and preach this and say, well, if you stay clear of these things, anything else is pretty much good, but you just walk with the Lord. No, that's a real low bar. But understanding the time, it wasn't. You know what it was at the time? It was a burden that was right for them. Yeah. It was a burden that was right for them. And you know what it was? It was the beginning of understanding the commandments that God would have for their lives. Someone was teaching them, and someone was helping, trying to help these new Gentile converts to grow in the Lord as Paul wrote these letters about many other things. When Paul wrote these letters and had expectations for these churches, they were much more than don't mess with blood of sacrifices. It was much more than that. It was about their daily walk with God and their growth in the Lord. But it was this doing right and obeying His commandments and growing in the Lord. They were burdens that were right. And God has burdens for you. He has burdens specifically for you. Paul talks about his burdens. He talks about the burden of all of the churches that were on his shoulders. I wouldn't know what that burden's like. The burden of this church rests on my shoulders, but not churches, plural. I wouldn't know what that would be about. He had the burden of bad health. He had a thorn in the flesh, and he had been stoned many times, and without a doubt that had left marks and left him in certain ways where his health was not what it once was. He had the burden of safety. Everywhere that he went, people seemed to be trying to kill him. He had the burden of safety that he wore. And you know what he ends up saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? He says, these are necessities. He said, God has given so much to me that without this thorn in the flesh, without these necessities, these burdens upon me, he says, oh, I know me. Without these burdens, boy, I would just be so puffed up and I would be so full of myself that I would be useless for the Lord. That's my interpretation of what he's saying there in those passages. Because of the revelations given unto me, this was placed upon me. I asked the Lord to take it from me 3 times, and he said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Is that a little more biblical explanation? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Say, where did that weakness come from? It was a burden given to Paul of God. And when Paul understood that this burden was for his betterment, then he started to see it differently and say, rejoice in my infirmities, he says, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's different. That is someone who God has given a burden, and yet Paul says, wait a minute, I understand this burden. I see this burden. I understand this burden is for my benefit. It is for me to be better. And that's just one example. We can go through this. We can spend all night going through the scriptures and talk about burdens that were placed upon men and women. You ever read the Old Testament? You ever read those prophets? The burden of the Lord given to, right? What was that? It was a burden of his word to preach the word to those people that were backslidden and rebellious against God. And it says it over and over again, especially in the minor prophets. The burden of the Lord given to. The burden of the Lord given to. And there's all kinds of different burdens. Not everyone's burdens are the same. And God gives these burdens, and God has these burdens be for you. Now there's a problem here. Go back to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, one of the problems is this. Matthew 23, in verse number 1. Matthew 23, 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Now look what he says in verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Now here we see something that's above and beyond. This is above and beyond what apparently God was trying to do. And there's these religious leaders, these men, they were placing burdens on the people that God never placed. And we need to be careful because we have burdens to carry, But when somebody else puts these burdens on us that God never places on us, we need to be able to recognize and understand what God wants. And because when someone else puts a burden on us that God doesn't place on us, then it's an extra weight that God never intends us to carry. And this can happen from all over the place. This can happen from loved ones with good intentions. This can happen from preachers that are abusing the authority of a pulpit. This can happen from all kinds of places and all kinds of areas. But we get this idea of men dumping burdens on people that they're not meant to carry or not meant to carry at that time, or simply burdens that God hasn't placed there in our lives. And what happens? That becomes too much. It becomes too much. And we need to be careful and understand and have an honest walk with the Lord when the Lord is placing a burden on us or when man is placing a burden on us. Now, you have to understand, I'm somewhat undercutting my authority as a pastor standing up here in the pulpit when I say that you have to know what God is desiring of you and be honest with the burdens that God places on you. Listen, this thing of living for the Lord and pleasing God does not work if you can't be honest between you and God. It cannot work. It cannot work. And the idea is God deals with us individually, and He places burdens, and He places restrictions, and He places things upon us that He intends for us to carry, and not for everybody else to carry. We can't say, oh, I bear these burdens, so everybody else has to bear these burdens. That's not accurate. That wouldn't be right. There's some shoulders in here, and God is going to place tremendous burdens. And if He placed those burdens on others, we would crumble and fall down and never be able to make it. See, but God could help us. Well, part of the way that God helps us is He gives us the burdens we can carry. That's part of the way God helps us. It doesn't always have to be the opposite. He doesn't have to crush us with burdens and then help us to carry those. Sometimes He doesn't give us the burdens. I have friends in the ministry and pastors and dealing with different things, and I say, my goodness, if God put that on me, if those burdens were given to me, there's no way I could do it. And God hasn't given me those burdens. Why? Probably knows I can't do it. Or I can't do it at this time. Because we should continue to grow and strengthen ourselves in the Lord. There's something else. Turn to Job chapter 7. Job 7. Job 7 and verse 20. Now you know the story of Job. And here is Job, and the Lord talks to Satan, and the Lord lets Satan take some things from Job. And Job has no idea what's going on. Job has no clue that the Lord and the devil are having these conversations and these things are going back and forth. And God doesn't tell Job what's happening. And God gives Job a burden. And God's been bragging to the devil about Job and how good he is, and he eschews evil, and he walks uprightly, and he does all he's my guy. He is the A-plus soldier. That's Job. And Job doesn't understand what's going on. He doesn't get to see behind the curtain. Most of Job, as it's written, is Job going, what is going on? And that's why he's claiming his own righteousness, and that's why all these things are happening. But Job doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't get to know what's going on. God isn't obligated to tell Job what's going on. And so here's Job, and what happens is the longer that Job keeps going on here, he starts to make accusations of himself that even the Lord doesn't make. And look in Job chapter 7 and verse number 20, the Bible says, I have sinned, this is Job. I have sinned, what shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? See what he says there? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. And he goes on here and he makes these accusations. And in verse 13, his bed shall be his comfort, and my couch shall ease my complaint. Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions. And he says, I have all these things going on. And Job starts to say, I'm the sinner. I'm the one that's wicked. There's no way I could stand before God. You know what the Bible says here about, he says about himself? So that I am a burden to myself. You know what else we can do? We can put burdens on ourselves that the Lord doesn't place. We put expectations and burdens, and we place weights, and we place things where God has this for me, and God would want me to do this thing, and God would have to expect this of me, and I don't do enough of this, and I don't do enough of this thing, and there's no way I can serve God perfectly in every single thing that I should do. And you know what happens sometimes? We place burden on our own shoulders that even God himself doesn't place. Now, does that mean we can walk around and excuse sin and do what we want and tell God, I don't really feel like that's probably me? And no, God does have burdens for us to carry. But if we add burdens on our own shoulders, burdens that not even God places there, then what are we doing? We're crippling ourselves. We're hurting ourselves. If we allow men to place burdens on our shoulders that God never intended, or if we even with good intentions, we place all this weight on our own shoulders that God never intended us to carry, what are we going to do? We're going to get tired and we're going to get weary. And God never intended us to do that. Look back in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. In verse 28, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. My burden is light. Is it a burden? Yes. Does God place burdens on our shoulders? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. But look what it says. And his commandments are not grievous. It's not too much. His commandments that he has for us in our lives, and that the way the Christian that he desires us to walk, and the way he desires us to walk, and the Christian that he wants us to be, it's not too much. The burden that he places on us as a Christian is not too overwhelming. We can't use the excuse, well, God just puts too much on me. No, he does not. That is a lie. That is a lie that you've told yourself, or the devil has whispered in your ear, or someone else has told you to get you to quit. God does not put burdens on your shoulders that you can't bear. He doesn't do it. He says, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Is it a burden? Yes. Listen, sin in this world will place a burden on you that you can't carry. You don't want that burden. God will never do that. God doesn't do that. How could God place a burden on our shoulders that we could never carry, expect us to carry it, and then say that we should rejoice evermore? That's not the God we serve. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. The reason we can rejoice in our life in Christ, and the reason that we can have joy living for the Lord, is because when we follow him and walk with him and listen to him and obey his commandments and walk with his burden, it's not too much. And listen, I understand. There is not going to be anybody in this room that is going to put more on my shoulders than I am going to put on my own shoulders. I've never found a person that has dumped more on my shoulders than I have. A man can stand up and preach a message or say things are supposed to be this way, and if I don't feel like the Lord wants me to do that, no big deal. I can brush that off. I don't have to be angry about it or mad about it or irritated about it. That cannot bother me one bit. But my own burdens that I put on my own shoulders, way too much. And so what do I need to do? Lord, what burdens do you want me to carry? Lord, what do you expect of me? No one's going to put a higher expectation on myself than me. I've never met the person. But God and his mercy and his grace and his love, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Now turn back to Numbers. We'll just spend a few minutes here. Just want to drive this home with an illustration. Numbers chapter 4. I believe, it had to be a couple years ago now, but a portion of this thought has stuck in my mind here. I think that Brother Jeff Johnson brought this thought up to a men's prayer breakfast. And if you didn't, just let me give you credit, brother. All right? So if it wasn't you, then just let me give you the credit. In Numbers chapter 4, the Bible's given all these rules to Israel and going through the law and everything that he demands of them and all these burdens that he places. And he gives the nation of Israel, they have all these things that they're to do, but he gives the Levites, those are the chosen tribe that God says they're gonna do my work. They're gonna do my work in certain ways and in certain things. And God is gonna place a burden on them more than he's gonna place on the other tribes. And they're to draw close to him, and they can't marry outside the family. I mean, lots and lots of restrictions. And so God places that on these individuals here, on the children of Levi. And we find in chapter 4 that when God is going to move them through the wilderness and they're going to set up the whole tabernacle and they're going to put all the pieces together and the boards and the rods and the curtains and the sockets and they're going to put all these pieces together and build this tabernacle that God has given them direction for, that the Levites are going to be in charge of tearing this down and carrying the burden of the tabernacle to wherever God says to go. That's what he's going to do. And he gives specific burdens to the children of Levi. And so when we kind of look through here in when we get to verse number 15, the Bible says, "And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the," look at the word, "burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation." Now, Aaron and his sons were the high priests, and they were the only ones allowed to go into the most holy place, the high priest. They were the only ones that were allowed to touch the articles of the furniture of the tabernacle and the brazen altar. They were the only ones that were allowed to take that apart, put the staves in those pieces, cover them, as it says here in the passage. They were the only ones allowed to do that. But the children of Kohath, after that, they had to come and bear the burden of those pieces of furniture as the children wandered through the wilderness to the next place. Now look over here in verse number 27. "And the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of the Gershonites in all their burdens and in all their service. And ye shall appoint unto them in charge all their burdens." All right, so what were they going to do? Well, in verse number 25, you can see this. They were to bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle congregation, his covering and the covering of the badger skins above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle, and the hangings of the court, and the hanging for the door of the gate of the court, and their cords and their instruments of their service, all these different parts and pieces, all these heavy curtains that were to be built and made. God says, there, you have to carry all this. And then we have the last group here in chapter 4. We have a Merari, and it says in verse 31, this is the charge of their burden. And they had the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments and all their service. So they had all the framework of everything. They had to, that was their responsibility. They had to carry all that and move all that around and take that from place to place. It was a burden that God had given them specifically. But look what we find when we get over to chapter 7. And if you think about all this burden, and if you, I mean, you have to do some thinking when you read your Bible, all right? But you think of all the things that God had set up for the tabernacle, and then he gives these children, you're going to carry all these things, and you're going to take them through the desert. And you start to think about how all these were made. And they were made of wood, and they were covered with gold, and some of the things were silver, and some of them were brass. And then you think about all the sockets that would have to go in the ground, and I think they were of silver. And then you had these rods, and they were covered with metals and put, it's like, man, this is a lot of stuff. And this is not light stuff. God didn't say, you know, take all the poles and all the boards and make them of carbon fiber. You know, he didn't say to do that. He didn't say, and everything you're gonna set all the sockets of titanium and everything's gonna be. He didn't say to do it. These are precious metals. This is some heavy stuff. And the Lord moves the cloud of fire and the cloud of the pillar of fire and the pillar of the cloud, and he moves that, and then in they come, and they have to start tearing everything down and carrying everything and moving it from place to place. Plus, they had their own tents, and they had their own things of their own household that they were responsible for. And you say, man, this is a lot. This is a lot. Numbers chapter 7, verse 1, and it came to pass on the day that Moses had fully set up the tabernacle and had anointed it and sanctified it and all the instruments thereof, both the altar and all the vessels thereof, and had anointed them and sanctified them, that the princes of Israel, heads of the house of their fathers, who were the princes of the tribes, and were over them that were numbered, there were 12 of these princes, they were the head of the tribe of Judah. There was one prince over all of Judah. So these representatives, they come. Verse 3, and they brought of their offering before the Lord 6 covered wagons and 12 oxen, a wagon for 2 of the princes, and for each one an ox, and they brought them before the tabernacle. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take it of them, that they may be to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt give them unto the Levites, to every man according to his service. You see it? Every man according to his service. What was that service? That was a burden. That's what he just said in Numbers 4. That service was to carry a burden. And Moses took the wagons and the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. 2 wagons and 4 oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon according to their service. And 4 wagons and 8 oxen he gave unto the sons of Merari according unto their service, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them, was that they should bear upon their shoulders. Say, well, what happens? God places a burden. He's going to place a burden on you. He's placed a burden on the Levites. And he said, when I move and at my word and with your obedience, when I say it's time to do this thing, then you bear that burden. When I come and I say, all right, now's the time, he puts a burden on these children of the Levites. And what does God do? He provides for the burden. He provides for the burden. What's it say in verse 5, the last part of the verse? To every man according to his service. According to his service. the Lord provides for the burden that he gives. For two of the sons of Levi, you know what he did? He provided carts and oxen. They could load up the stuff, put a lot of things in this cart, and most of the burden was carried by the oxen, and they didn't have near the weight of the burden. I mean, why do you think it says in Galatians chapter 6, I got it right, Galatians chapter 6, why do you think it says not only that we have to bear our burden, but that we should bear one another's burdens? Why do you think it says that? Because sometimes God gives us a burden that he intends us to bear, and someone else comes along and helps lighten the load, and we're able to go forth for the Lord Jesus Christ in the burdens that he has given us. Some he gave two wagons, some he gave four wagons. Say, oh, well, they must be weaker if he gave four wagons to them. Either that or the load was heavier. But what's that to me if it's not my burden? Does that make sense? Well, I just wish the Lord would give me some more oxen and some more carts. Oh, you're asking for a heavier burden? I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't test the Lord that way. And say, well, what about these sons of Kohath? Yeah, you know what they're called to do? Bear it upon their shoulders. And they were able to do it. It wasn't beyond what God had expected of them and given of them to do. It was the burden for them. And it was the burden that they were capable of carrying. It was going to be placed right on their shoulders. And as they continued to walk, they would probably slide that around, move that burden around on their shoulders. But guess what? They weren't to put it in a cart. They were to carry it on their shoulders. And that was the burden God had given them. And God gave them the strength to carry that burden. God doesn't put burdens on us that we can't carry. He doesn't do it. Now, we can try throwing those burdens off, and we can try whining about it and complaining. But listen, it's very specific for you, and you are the Christian that you are today because of those burdens. Then we can turn around and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This burden is the only thing that keeps me in the right place. Carry this with your help and strength. Lord, your burden's light. Go to the end, or until you take, let somebody else put burdens on your shoulders. God's not asking you to carry. Don't put more on your own shoulders that God hasn't asked you to carry. And then say, can't do it. And give all kinds of excuses, not possible. And yet he's never placed those burdens there. Don't do that. God will provide. The Lord will provide for us. Nobody loves this idea. That once we get saved, once we're his children, he's give us burdens. Nobody's in love with that. No one's signing up for more burdens. If I put a sign-up sheet in the back and said, sign up for the fair or sign up for more burdens, we would have a bear. We wouldn't still have a Wednesday night slot available. Everybody be signing up. Why? Because nobody wants more burdens. Nobody wants to feel like just more weight. Oh, the weight of the world was on my shoulder. Why do you think when people get saved and they've lived some time in the world, why do you think they say, man, when I got saved, it just felt like a burden was lifted off of my shoulders? Haven't you heard people say that? Haven't you heard people that lived in the world and lived with the burden of sin and lived with the burden of the flesh? Haven't you heard people say, man, when I got saved, just all that was released off my shoulders? Why? Because the devil doesn't care about you. God says, man, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. Take these burdens, obey my commandments, grow as I tell you to grow, continue as I tell you to continue, and man, take those burdens all the way to heaven. And own them and say, God, help me. And man, they're for our betterment. And when we get some years on us, you know what we can say? Thank God for some of those burdens. And listen, nobody ever gets better when things are easy. In life, nobody ever gets better and stronger when things are easy. If I was trying to build some muscle and I just stuck to 5 pound, if I just stuck to 3 pound weights the whole time, guess what would happen? I'd never get any stronger. Why? It's just too easy. It's too easy. And God puts burdens on us that we can bear, and praise the Lord that He helps us do it. Let's pray tonight. Lord, thank you.